Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. When investment performance matters, make sure your savings are with Zurich. Visit zurich.ie to find out more.
We return now to that breaking story this afternoon, the resignation of Arlene Foster as leader of the DUP. She had faced a massive revolt from her MLA colleagues in Northern Ireland, in the Assembly and among the party MPs in Westminster. I'm joined by former Taoiseach Bertie Ahern to discuss all of this, and also by Jim Wells, a DUP party member. And Bertie Ahern, I might get your reaction to how this impacts a delicate political situation already in just a moment. But I might first turn to Jim Wells, who's in the DUP and who's very close to the action on all of this. And Jim, you're very welcome to the programme.
Thank you.
I was reading a piece, an opinion piece in the Belfast Telegraph this afternoon by Gail Walker, and she said, if conversion therapy vote was the catalyst for the coup, the DUP really is in trouble.
It would be wrong to say that conversion therapy was the catalyst. The conversion therapy is one of many, many issues, maybe the straw that broke the camel's back. But there had been huge concern about the way the party was going over this last 18 months. And this really brought it to a crescendo, as it were. And the concern was mounting from Christmas onwards. So it would be wrong to say it was conversion therapy. It was the whole issue of the protocol. And perhaps personalities as well. There were many difficulties between the leadership and the ordinary grassroots.
Alex Kane was writing since the resignation. He was saying the new leader, whoever the new leader will be of the DUP, has two big jobs, he says, to unite the party and remove the fear of electoral defeat for the party. I mean, whoever the new leader is, Jim, will have a huge task.
I think we're all agreed in that, because we've only got a year to the next Northern Ireland Assembly election. And there's an awful lot of work to be done, as you say, to bring the party together. Though I have to say, the party was fairly united in agreeing that there should be leadership change. And I think there's big issues. The protocol, obviously, is a big issue. Irish language. And, of course, the fact that when we come out of the coronavirus crisis, that our economy will have great difficulties. So certainly whoever becomes new leader has many, many difficult tasks on his table.
Bertie Ahern, how does this situation, the new leader of a significant party in the North, make, as I say, a delicate situation even more difficult, or does it?
Well, Cormac, before I answer that, I've known Arlene for a long time. Obviously, she's been a member since 2003, and I had many, many dealings with her. And on a personal level, I must say, I always found her very friendly and kind, and always had good understanding. Didn't obviously agree on all the policy issues. Nobody would expect us to, but just to wish her and Brian and the children well for the future. I think she's given a lot of good service in a lot of key ministries and financial and enterprise, trade, and environment. So it's never easy. But I wish her well, because it's a hard time for her.
And you had to give one of those speeches, Bertie Ahern, when you're resigning as leader. And it's not an easy speech, I assume, to give. And she cut quite a lonely figure there when she gave that speech earlier on. She spoke about misogyny that she experienced as leader and so on. It's never a difficult task. But the question that I was posing, that the new a leader of the DUP faces many tasks, but it will change the political dynamic in the North itself, in the executive, the Stormont Assembly, and also North, South and East, West.
Yeah, well, you know, the Democratic Unionist Party have a decision, and you know, I wish them well. That's always a tough and interesting, and probably a good time for a party as well. They renew themselves and they look to the future, and that's a matter for them. But some of the same issues will be there. The continuing implementation of the Good Friday Agreement, hopefully across the three strands. Dealing with the protocol, I think the European Parliament this week ratified the whole withdrawal agreement and the whole deal, so the protocol is there and will be there. But there are mechanisms to negotiate and try and change and amend, as there is in any agreement like this. But whoever is there is going to have to continue on that work. But hopefully, I'd rather look at a positive thing. I think whatever the new unionist voice is, that they will take a positive, forward-looking, progressive stance on issues, that they look at with the relationship with the Republic, and whatever fears and concerns are there, let's look positively at those. I don't think they'll find anybody in the Irish government or in the Irish political system or the Irish public other than being helpful. And I think that's the way to look at this. I don't think we should look inward. We are moving forward. The people in the north are moving forward. There are huge positives in the protocol. We've all talked about the negatives, but there's already an enormous amount of business interests looking at the opportunities of Northern Ireland still being in the single market and the customs union and seeing the benefits that that brings. So, you know, all these things will be for the new leader to bring them forward, working with Michelle O'Neill.
Well, can I put that to Jim Wells, what you outlined there, Bertie Ahern, as the possibility of a progressive leadership of the DUP, a more progressive leadership? Don't look inward, says Bertie Ahern. But can I read you a tweet by Jamie Bryson, Jim? He says, unionism now has the last chance to return to its ideological core. To do that, there must be a collective and determined campaign against the Belfast Agreement and all its outworkings. A Poots Paisley leadership team is, in my view, the future of the DUP. Do you agree?
I think he's maybe 50% right there on who the leadership team is going to be. But what I can say to you is that the toxic issue at the moment is not so much the Belfast Agreement, but the protocol. I'm afraid no unionist shares the enthusiasm that Mr. Ahern has for the protocol. We don't see anything positive in it whatsoever. We see it as creating a barrier down the middle of the Irish Sea. We see it as a great constitutional danger to the future position of Northern Ireland. And really, until we can find some way of ridding ourselves of this awful agreement, then I think Northern Ireland will have a very unstable future. The people of the Irish Republic would never tolerate a border between Donegal and the rest of the Irish Republic. Why should we tolerate one between Northern Ireland and the rest of UK? And where this could unravel very badly is the medicines derogation ends on the 1st of October. And 98% of our medicines come from Great Britain. And if they all have to be tested and ratified by Europe, we could have a crisis on our hands. And that's when we'll see the full implications of this awful protocol. So there, Mr. Ahern may see positives, but it would be very difficult to find a unionist who sees anything but trouble ahead because of that agreement.
Bertie Ahern, what if that's the new view of the view of the new leadership of the DUP?
Well, let's see. I mean, I'd say two things. I suppose, Jim, I don't want to be arguing with you, but we didn't have much say about 100 years ago when the border was drawn across the country and we had to accept it as it was. And it's been creating problems since, but we better not go back to that. But I think there are plenty of mechanisms in the protocol for trying to deal with the issues. I totally accept that there are issues that have created problems for trade, not only in Northern Ireland, but also in the Republic. So I think those issues, and I understand that with the government, Minister Coveney today gave a report to the Oireachtas Committee in European Affairs, and the British government, and with the EU, are trying to resolve those issues. And nobody is taking it away from the fact that there are difficulties in that. But where there are positives, Northern Ireland is still in the customs union. It's in the single market. It has significant economic benefits now over other places. There are already several businesses, and I think Jim knows this, looking at Northern Ireland as a location for investment. That will bring employment. It will move people from hardship and deprivation. I saw many of the loyalist people who were protesting saying they didn't see a future and they didn't see employment. We parts of the Republic that have some of those difficulties, and the way of changing it is to give a hope and a future. And I hope that the new leader, Arlene has only announced her resignation a few hours ago, but I hope the new DUP leader will take a progressive stance and look at the benefits and lead on in a progressive way. I mean, I think that's what everybody in the island of Ireland wants.
Jim?
Well, I think part of Arlene's problem was that many saw what she was doing as too progressive and taking the province and the party too far.
In what
the
way, Jim, too progressive?
Well, some of the moral issues which many people up here hold dear. For instance, it was brought to head when she abstained on a conversion therapy motion, which would have led to pastors and priests ending up in court for praying for those who are struggling with same-sex attraction.
Can I just ask you, and I plead ignorance on this one, what do you mean by conversion therapy?
Well, what the proponents of it were saying is that all interventions by anyone, be they ministers, therapists or doctors, on the whole issue of homosexual therapy, that should be made illegal. And that would mean that a priest or a pastor or a minister who prayed with somebody struggling with this issue could end up in prison. And there's absolutely no way that the DUP would ever vote for that sort of proposal.
And she simply abstained on that bill. And that was too much for the DUP, is that right?
It caused great concern within the DUP, but I have to be emphasised with you that in its own would not have caused the difficulties that Arlene faced
this
week.
I do understand, but can you understand the difficulty people have when they say, number one, to raise this idea as therapy, number two, the need for it at all, and number three, that it seems to some commentators that I've been reading in the North today that society has changed in the North to being more progressive.
Do you mean Northern Ireland?
Indeed. So society has changed towards being more progressive is the word they were using to various rights like same-sex marriage and so on. And the DUP is retrenching in that regard. I mean, I just wonder, in terms of a strategy for the party, are you losing support by holding this position ideologically?
There are hundreds of thousands of people in Northern Ireland who still hold to traditional marriage and the right of the unborn. And the DUP has always been the voice for those people. And when we have been particularly strong on it, we've done very well politically. And those people have a right to have a voice. And those people have a right to be heard and a right to have someone to vote for. And a large number of people in our community feel very strongly, and many unionists don't really care at all. So it's not the determinant, really, as to where they vote. But I haven't time to go into the nuances of what happened last Tuesday, but there was an attempt to conceal the fact they had abstained, and that caused a lot of problems with members of the party. But it was one of dozens of issues that had arisen, and I'm afraid the relationships had just broken down. And we do wish Arlene all the best in her future. It's a very difficult situation she now faces. And I mean, no one could not feel for her today as she resigned. But the point is, after 5 years, the party, by 75% of its elected representatives, agreed to move on. And Arlene has gone with dignity. She's decided to accept that decision. And I have no doubt we haven't heard the last of her. I think she will re-emerge in some other sphere. I mean, she's only 50, so I think she has a bright future ahead of her. But really, on this one, the party decided that this was the time to move on. And Bertie Ahern knows exactly when a party decides that as well, and it's happened in the Irish Republic many, many times.
Can I ask you, Bertie Ahern, finally, I read a post on social media by an observer of all of this, and it simply said, if Arlene Foster is a problem, Edwin Poots is not the answer. Now, cynical possibly, wrong maybe, who knows, but what if Edwin Poots becomes leader and drags the party to a more hardline position?
Well, I'd rather think of the positives. I think I've had very good relationships with Ian Paisley, with Peter Robinson, with Arlene. I've no doubt that the government in the Republic can continue to work with the DUP, I think progressively work with them. It's in the interest of all the electorate, it's the interest of all the people, it's in the interest of the rising generation. That's what politics is about. And I think we should work together. We won't agree on everything. The protocol will not change anything on the constitutional issue. I readily accept talking about a line down the Irish Sea as if there was a border across water is not a good thing. I understand that. But I think we need to... we are in 2021 and we need to be trying to build for the future. And I think we've an opportunity to do that. So whoever is leader, I hope we can continue to progressively move forward.
It's difficult, though, because when there is a new leader, you have to start again, don't you, in building that interpersonal relationship, particularly with Michelle O'Neill, who'll be the opposite of the new leader of the DUP, although Arlene Foster will remain until the end of June, I think, as First Minister.
Yeah, but, you know, I whether it's Edmund Putz or whether it's Gavin Robinson or whether it's Jeffrey Donaldson or somebody else, I think they're all people that are familiar and have worked through various ministries and positions with the government here. I've worked with them all. I didn't work with Gavin, but they are very good ministers. Edmund Putz was an excellent minister in several areas, and Jeffrey is very well known here. So, you know, I'd look at it positive, Cormac, and let's hope we can bring this to a new level and move on positively. We shouldn't try to draw any of ourselves back, and hopefully that's the I hope Jim agrees with me on that. I think that's the way to go.
Okay, former Taoiseach Bertie O'Hearn, thank you very much indeed, and DUP Party member Jim Wells, thank you.